honestly. Well, good morning, church. Do you love this weather or what? Yeah, if you don't, sorry. I asked for it. I love it. So, hey, I'm excited to share with you this morning and to continue on this series that Rob started 2 weeks ago. It's called Overflow. And this whole series is a series about relationships and how our relationship with God and everything that we experience from that relationship with God, how that then should overflow into the other relationships that we have with other people. And so I encourage you, if you've missed the first couple weeks, they're available on our app. You can download our app and listen to it on our app. You can download it or listen to it on our website. Or we also have CDs outside, right on the table outside the door here. I hope that you'll grab those and listen to those first two messages. But if you've missed it, let me kind of just quickly set the stage for you on what this series is all about. Again, God invites us, each and every one of us, into a relationship with Him. John 3:16 reminds us that for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not die, but have eternal life. And the amazing thing is about eternal life is that starts the day that we accept Jesus. It doesn't start the day we die. It starts the day that we accept Jesus. It's a new life that will never end when we enter into that relationship with God. When we do that, we also then begin to experience the love that He has for us. It's a love that cannot be matched with any other sort of relationship that we have here on earth. And so as we, again, experience that relationship with God and experience more and more the depth of how much Jesus loves us, that love then begins, hopefully, ideally, it expands, overflows to other people. So whether that's our relationship with our spouse, I truly believe that Christians have the capacity to love their spouses more than non-Christians. I really do. So whether it's our relationship with our spouse or our relationship with our friends or our siblings or our parents or even with our coworkers or strangers on the street, because God loves us so generously, we are called to have that then overflow into the relationships with other people. And so this morning, we're going to continue on that series and talk about this theme of trust and how trust, or the lack thereof, affects not only our relationship with God, but every relationship we have on this earth. Now, Pastor Rob asked me if I would preach on trust. I've decided not to preach on trust. So if you could open your Bibles to Leviticus, we're going to talk about burnt offerings this morning. No, I'm just kidding. If I did that, he wouldn't trust me, right? So I'm going to stick to the topic. So write this down. At its core, if you're going to take notes with us this morning, at its core, trust is the foundation of any and every relationship, right? Think about that. Trust is the foundation of any and every relationship that we have. So that's why it's really important as we're talking about relationships to understand how trust plays into that. If you think about it, you can't have a healthy relationship. You can have an unhealthy relationship, but you can't have a functional, healthy relationship if you don't trust the other person or if the other person doesn't trust you. So let me ask you this. As you sit here this morning, 11:04 on a Sunday, rainy morning outside, where are you at when it comes to trust and those that are in your life? Is it easy for you to trust other people or hard? Have you experienced some things in your life that just give you some trust issues that kind of interfere with being able to trust other people? I know for me, raisin cookies that look like chocolate chip cookies are the main reason why I have trust issues. I don't mean to make light, because I know that many of us have been hurt in our lives. And so there are real reasons why we don't trust certain people, or maybe even why we don't trust God. And so we're gonna dig into that, because to live with a lack of trust is to live with suspicion of other people. Let me explain what I mean. If I don't trust you, it means that there's a part of me that believes you're going to hurt me somehow. And if I believe on any level that you're prepared to harm me, whether it's emotionally or physically or whatever it might be, I cannot, like I said, have a functional, healthy relationship with you. It's just the reality. And unfortunately, I see this all the time with married couples. I do a lot of work with married couples, mentoring and counseling them. And unfortunately, before couples even make it into my office sometimes, the damage has already been done. There's been so many hurtful words spoken or deeds done that they eventually come to a place where they no longer simply just believe the other person has hurt them, but they believe the other person intends to hurt them in the future. And so trust breaks down. They come to view each other with suspicion, each devoted to kind of protecting themselves, to their own wants or needs. So they no longer have the interests of the other at heart. And again, there's no way that can be a healthy relationship. Unfortunately, the reality is if you don't trust, you can't be close to somebody else. You may say that to other people, the other person's a good person, they have great qualities, I really believe in them. In fact, our whole issue is all about me. It's all about my trust issues. But regardless, you can't be close to that person no matter what you say about them or how great you say they might be if you don't trust them. Well, the same is true with our relationship with Jesus, right? The reason many people can't follow Jesus is because at the very core of their being, regardless of what they might say about who Jesus is, regardless of whether they even pray to Jesus or say how great Jesus was, if they don't trust him, there's no relationship with him. In other words, they continue to harbor this suspicion that Jesus really is out to hurt them somehow. In some way, the life that Jesus is asking them to live is inferior to the life that Jesus calls them to leave. And so there's a suspicion there that doesn't allow them to enter into that relationship with Jesus. I can remember when I was in elementary school, there was this kid that picked on me all the time. Come on, don't you have hearts? Thank you. I need a hug from somebody for crying out loud. No, just kidding. There was this kid, he was the bully of the school, and he would pick on me all the time. One thing he would always do, whenever he'd walk by me or I'd walk by him, he'd pretend to hit me, and then he'd kind of like, just kidding, psych, right? But sometimes he would actually hit me. And so I never knew, is he going to hit me or is he just going to psych? So every time I'd walk by this kid, I would just flinch, like, oh, there he is, he's going to hurt me, right? Every day, seriously, every day when I would walk to school, I would think, oh, I hope, I won't say his name because he actually comes here now. No, just kidding. But I would always hope, oh, please don't be there. Like, please be sick. Or please just be a really bad kid and just not go to school. But he was always there. And so every time I'd walk by him, it would just be this tension, this, is he going to hurt me, right? It was awful. Okay, I've had counseling about that. I'm okay. But what I thought about was, unfortunately, how some people, when they start to meet Jesus and they start to hear about who Jesus is, there's almost that same reaction where Jesus begins to draw closer to them and they kind of flinch because they don't fully trust them. And there's a suspicion that what Jesus is asking them to do really isn't as good as the life he's asking them to give up. Have you ever done that? Have you ever flinched when Jesus asked you to do something that you just weren't quite ready to go there yet? Well, of course, the huge difference between this kid at school when I was growing up and Jesus is that the kid at school really did want to hurt me, and he did it all the time. Well, Jesus doesn't, and Jesus hasn't hurt me all the time. So we may love Jesus, we may admire him and say that we want him in our lives, but we're afraid about the life that he calls us to. And so we're just not quite able to go there. So this morning we're going to address this issue of trust. And we're going to learn how, If we can trust Jesus more, it's going to make it easier for us then to trust other people. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to John chapter 12. If you don't have your Bibles, we have the Bibles in the pews for you. And if you don't have a Bible and you would like one, we just say, take that one. It's yours. We would love to find our pews empty of Bibles so that we have to refill them, because we know that means people are taking them. So John chapter 12, just two verses, starting with verse 35. Then Jesus said, "You're going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. The man who walks in the dark does not know where he is going." Verse 36, "Put your trust in the light while you have it, so that you may become sons of light." And when Jesus had finished speaking, he left and hid himself from them. What an interesting verse. Put your trust in the light. That's, to me, as I read that this week, every time I hear that, it's always kind of one of those fascinating comments that Jesus makes. Put your trust in light. Because I've never really thought of not trusting light. And yet, Jesus knows that we do. We don't completely trust light. Jesus knows that we have a hard time sometimes trusting the light. We're so used to the darkness. We're so used to being hurt. So used to approaching relationships with suspicion that we find it hard to relax in the light. Because when the light clearly dawns on us, it's not an issue of what you see, it's an issue of being able to trust what you see. See, in this account, as Jesus is teaching here, Jesus himself is the light, and he's standing right in front of this group of people. The light was right there, and yet they were still in darkness. Why? Because they didn't trust what they saw. There's a great quote in the movie Santa Claus. Let me share it with you. It says, "Seeing isn't believing. Believing is seeing." Let me say it again. Seeing isn't believing. Believing is seeing. In other words, it's not someone proving to you that they are trustworthy that helps you trust them. It's your decision to live as though they are trustworthy that will help you to discover whether they are trustworthy or not. It's your decision to live as though they are trustworthy. Then you will be able to see whether or not they truly are trustworthy. So that's what Jesus asks us to do. Trust him enough to see whether or not he's trustworthy. Now, some people call this blind faith. But that same blind faith is what they have placed in every other relationship, every other person on this earth that they've ever trusted. And so Jesus is asking us to do the same thing. But God invites us to not just believe blindly, but to have an experience with him. Psalm 34:8 says this, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him." Taste and see that God is good. Come experience. Give me the chance, God says. Give me the chance to prove to you that I'm trustworthy. We can't see in advance that God is trustworthy, but when we choose to trust God, we then begin to see the results in our life that God promises he'll give us. The problem we have with trust, whether it's trust in God or trust in other people, is that we're being asked to believe something that we can't see. We can't see whether a person is trustworthy, right? I can't look at Rob and say, I can just tell by the way he dresses, by the way he walks, by the way he lives his life that he's trustworthy. I had to experience time with him before I really begin to trust him. And we're working on that still. Just kidding. Another real problem with trusting God is that as much as we can learn by thinking about trusting in terms of our own human relationships and experience, at some point, trusting God isn't really like trusting people at all. Because if we're honest, everybody in our life, at some point or another, will disappoint us. At some point, we're going to be hurt by those that we love the most and those that love us the most. And yet, God promises he won't do that. And so while we can learn a lot about trusting God through our relationships with other people, we also can't fully understand that here is a being that, unlike everybody else we will ever trust, he will never, never give us a reason not to trust him. So how do we do this? I want to spend just a few moments on how we can learn how to stop flinching when God asks us to do something. Write this down. You will not know God if you don't decide to trust him. And so if this is hard for you, let me give you just a few bullet points on how we can trust God. What does it take for us to trust God? First of all, you must decide whether Jesus knew what he was talking about. You have to decide for yourself. Did Jesus really know what he was talking about or not? If you doubt that he really offers a better way to live, then you're going to keep flinching when he draws near to you because you don't fully believe what he's asking you to do is going to be good for you. Number two, you must consider Jesus to be the authority then of the best way to live. So first of all, you have to decide, is it true or not? And once you do, you then begin to really figure out, what does that mean then for me? See, if you suspect that Dr. Phil, some of you might know who Dr. Phil is, if you suspect he knows better for you, then you're going to believe in him instead of Jesus. Worse yet, in my opinion, is if you believe in that person that you see in the mirror, that person has a better understanding of what's best for you than what Jesus does, it's going to be hard for you to fully trust Jesus. Next, you must determine simply just to do it. After finding out what Jesus would have you do, you must determine for yourself that for the rest of your life, I'm going to do my best to just do what he asked me to do. The reason so many struggle to do what God's will is because they never really decide to trust Jesus. And oftentimes, without realizing it, they're trusting what somebody else says is a better way of life. Finally, you must realize that trust is active. Think about that toddler at the edge of the pool. Their dad is just waiting for them and saying, trust me, just jump into the pool, trust me. That child doesn't fully trust her dad until what? She jumps into the pool. See, trust is active. So until we're willing to jump into the pool with God, we're not going to fully understand how trustworthy he really is. So trust God with your fears. Just jump into that pool. God, I trust you with my fears. God, I trust you with my finances. God, I trust you with my children. God, I trust you with my future. Until we jump into that pool, we won't begin to understand how trustworthy God really is. The last thing I want to share about trusting God is that, and for people for that matter, is that trusting God is cumulative. Let me explain what I mean. I'll use my relationship with my wife, Rachel, who's sitting right up there. Hi, Rachel. So when I first got married, I trusted Rachel. I wouldn't have married her if I didn't trust her, right? I can honestly say, though, 15 years after being married to her and her being faithful to me time and time and time again and forgiving me for everything I do and all the stuff that she's done to prove that she's trustworthy, I've learned that I trust her more and more. Now, it's not that I didn't trust her when we first got married, because I really did. It's that my capacity for trust at that moment 15 years ago was a lot smaller. My capacity for trust grows day after day after day, year after year, and it continues to grow as Rachel shows me, continues to show me, that she's trustworthy. So even though at every moment I've trusted her, I trust her a lot more today because my capacity has grown. The same is true with my relationship with God. When I first accepted Jesus into my life when I was a sophomore in high school, I trusted him completely, or else I wouldn't have jumped into the pool with him. But the more I have experienced how trustworthy God is, my capacity to trust Jesus is so much greater today. And so the longer you walk with him, the more you're going to be able to trust him. The same is true with people in our lives. As this happens, the years will add up one by one, where you'll be able to look back and realize how much better your life has become because of your decision to first trust God. Every day that you trust God, your faith is becoming knowledge. What you believe is actually becoming what you've put to test, and now, actually, you know it's true because of your experience with him. That's what it means to trust God. And then it's that trust that we're able to begin to share with other people. So, let's take it the next step. If your story is anything like mine, the more we experience God as trustworthy and how good it is to trust him, this allows us to have more trust in other people. So no matter if you've been burned by somebody in your past, because of your relationship with God, you're going to be able to trust others much faster, much deeper than you can without God in your life. So before I wrap this up, let me first repeat what I said at the very beginning of my message, and that is this, that at its core, trust is the foundation of any and every relationship that we'll ever have. Someone once said this: trust takes years to build, seconds to break, and forever to repair. So how do we repair trust? How do we begin to trust others? Let me close with just a few practical ideas that maybe you'll connect with one or two of these. How do we build trust with others? Number one, be loyal. Loyalty is one of those biggest things that if you're loyal to others, you're going to not only be trusted, but as you trust them, you're going to be able to be trusted as well. So don't tear people down in public. Don't talk about people. Be loyal. Be loyal to your spouse, whether you're with him or her or not. Be loyal to your friends, whether you're with them or not, once they understand that you are loyal. By the language you use about other people, they're going to know that you're trustworthy. Number two, be dependable. If you tell your spouse you're going to do something, do it. If I tell my wife I'm going to be home by 5, I better be home by 5. And if I'm not, I better call her. And I've learned that I need to do that. But we need to be dependable with those that are in our lives. Be someone that others can count on. Be honest is the next one. Nothing destroys truth faster or trust faster than being caught in a lie. So don't put yourself in that situation. Number four, be persistent. Trust is established over time, and it doesn't come easy, especially, like I said, if you've been betrayed by somebody before. It's easy today to throw in the towel and say, I can't trust you anymore, I'm out of here. But if we learn to be persistent, we can work through whatever the issue or the lack of trust was, if we're just persistent. Now, I could obviously spend a lot more time, another hour, on this idea of how do we trust others. I'm not going to, don't worry. But it's important to understand, if trust is broken, if you came here today and you're struggling with this theme of trust, there are things that you can do, very practical things that you can begin to do to build up the trust that you have with other people. The same is true for your relationship with God. If you're struggling with God today, if you came here today and you didn't even think you're going to have to think about this, but you're being honest with yourself and you just admit, it's hard for me to trust God, I want to encourage you this morning to taste and see that the Lord is good. taste and see. God says, if you don't believe me, try me. Give me a shot. And I'll prove to you over and over again that you can trust me. Somebody once said that having faith is not jumping to conclusions. It's concluding to trust. Let's pray. Father, help us this morning as we consider where we're at with you. God, I know that you've proven to us that we can trust you. So as we come to this table today, as we come to communion, God, there's no greater example of how much you love us and how we can trust you with everything we have, because you gave us everything that you had, and that's your son, Jesus. So, Jesus, we thank you for the sacrifice you made for us. May we come to these elements this morning, this bread and this juice, and may we see that as a reminder once again of the sacrifice that you made for us so that we can have the opportunity to jump into a relationship with you. May we do that with both feet, knowing that you will catch us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.